been 23 hours. Have you missed us? I think you have. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. It's very nice to have you here. Let's talk about what's going on in this big world of ours. Let me introduce our panelists first. WAMC's own Dr. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, Alan.
And good morning to you, Joseph, sir.
Thank you very much. And we go to our dear friend Rosemary Armeo, who joins us, an investigative reporter and a professor of journalism at the University at Albany.
Hello.
Good morning. And Mike Spain is with us, as he is each and every Tuesday and whenever else we beg him to be here. He is the associate editor of the Times Union, and it's a pleasure to have you here, sir.
Thank you, and happy Election Day, everybody.
All right.
Go vote.
Everybody vote?
Go vote.
Yeah, okay. You voted yet?
Yeah,
voted.
Sure.
You voted? Yeah, great. Me too. All right. We're all good. We're going to have election coverage tonight, 9 o'clock, 9 to 11.
We are, and our own Ian Pickus will be honchoing the whole thing.
That's right. The whole news crew on tap tonight, so it'll be great. And tune in 9 to 11. All the races that matter to you will be talked about tonight beginning at 9 o'clock. 9 to 11 right here on WAMC.
All the races that matter to you, as you said, and some that don't.
Yeah, we left that out of the marketing copy. Okay, so let's talk politics. Let's talk about debates. Let's talk about Donald Trump. The format and content of upcoming Republican debates became increasingly uncertain on Monday after Donald Trump's campaign said the real estate mogul would negotiate his terms directly with television executives instead of as a part of a joint effort with his rivals. So normally they would all get together and they would act as one and say, here's what the rules we want to be. We want less time, more time here. We want this format, that kind of format. The move by Trump coming just hours after his and other campaigns huddled in Washington suburb to craft a three-page letter of possible demands thwarts an effort to find consensus after what most candidates agreed was a debacle hosted by CNBC last week.
Well, this is Trump trying to play the role he's made for himself. I'm the big negotiator. I'll get the best deal. I have this theory that the Republican Party, the officials of the Republican Party, don't want more debates. There's too many of them. Mm-hmm. Every time they go in, the Republicans as a group look bad, all kinds of criticism. I think there's way too much. This is not the unifying exercise that I think they thought it was going to be when they agreed before the season began. And that this is all an excuse to cut the number, which I see happening.
I meant to look this up before and I forgot last night, but wasn't there a great deal of concern about the number of debates last presidential cycle?
Yep.
And the Republican
and the number
Party
of
said that,
people on the podium, too.
Well, right.
Which was like six or
but
something.
The actual number of debates, that they said it was too many, that it was confusing.
It felt like Mitt Romney. Right. Mitt Romney was just wearing himself out, and he had to debate, so he got more and more rightist, more to the right.
Right.
And
he had to compromise all his positions and couldn't come back to the middle.
So what happened with that, and how does this play into what we're seeing now?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to start with the idea that it is perceived by the American people as awful. You know, they don't like it.
They're watching.
They don't like what?
They don't like the quality of what is being said in these debates.
But they're watching. I mean, the numbers of people watching are very high.
But people watch wrestling on Saturday nights.
Yeah, kind of the same way, I think. Yeah.
You know, and so it.
That's good. Yeah.
And so you
good
know
point.
That. Well, that was my point. He stole it, Joe, but I did.
I give you both credit.
No,
I don't want him to have
any credit. I'll give full credit to you, Alan. I apologize.
Do you think that Reince Priebus, the head of the Republican National Committee, really has much say in this? Who's really calling the shots here? I think this story demonstrates that the big names and the ones who are getting highest in the polling are the ones that are controlling this, like Donald Trump. I mean, he is.
Well, Trump is slipping in the polls, which
is
interesting.
Yes, he is.
He has to, I think, show his strength, which is this braggadocio, I can push everybody around.
Right. I'm the big negotiator.
I can take on ISIS. I can beat ISIS.
But also, I'm not going to let anybody push me around. And some of this may be peak at his reversal of fortune to Carson, of all people. Right? I mean, you know, this guy is Women should never be allowed to have an abortion under any circumstances. I mean,
that if the Jews in Germany in the 1930s had guns yeah. there wouldn't have been a Holocaust.
Yeah. Well, he also did not do well in the last debate. He got asked questions about his connection with that supplement firm, and he was not ready for that. He looked really bad, and that's what they're annoyed at, is not that CNBC did a bad job controlling the debate, trying to make 11 people on stage look like it was something organized, but that the questions were not things that they wanted to talk about.
Although, I mean, there is something to that. I mean, the debate Well, the debate was a debacle. I mean, they did a poor job.
I totally agree, Joe, but do you think it was because of the questions they asked? They did
I think the way they asked them, the lack of information. No, I think it was if we're saying should they have talked about the issues that they were talking about?
Yes.
Of course.
Right.
Yes, and I agree with you and I don't think the candidates are always going to complain about things that they are, you know, if they have a bad moment they're going to blame the question. I get that. But you can't take that away from the fact that they screwed up.
Yeah, I said that all along.
Right.
And I'm not defending CNBC. But what we're hearing now out of these negotiations is that the reporters had gotcha questions. They were trying to trick the candidates to make them look bad.
Of course they have gotcha questions.
Why should we not have gotcha questions?
Exactly.
And by the way,
that's what they're trying to get out of, is what I'm saying. The Republicans they don't want a debate at all. They want a stage in which they all get out and in the perfect surroundings,
and
perfect
they want a
setting,
press,
say what they want.
And they want a press conference like we're having these days where they don't just point to somebody arbitrarily, but they know every single person. And I suspect a lot of them have already called in
their questions.
And they know the questions. Yeah.
You're right.
That's one of the demands, that they want the reporters now to submit the questions that they'll be asking ahead of time.
Well, let me ask you this. Being fast on your feet and be able to answer questions that you don't expect, is that something that should factor into how you pick a president?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes,
of course.
Okay. Well, there.
And also, a willingness to deal with the press is something to factor in. That review of questions. I mean, I'm sorry, they did.
I agree
the
with you on that, but I think
it.
I think the public is very sympathetic to these guys who are and MS or CNBC really is taking the big hit here.
It is very interesting that there's been no response from CNBC to all of this. I keep looking every day.
I think they probably figure anything they say will just continue the conversation and they'd like to move on.
Well, but, what would your response be? I don't know what you say other than we screwed up.
I'm not sure that they should say that.
I think they should say that
there were things wrong, but our questions were all on point and we're disappointed the candidates didn't answer some of the substantial questions we had, for example, on the debt ceiling.
Okay.
I remember moderating a debate once between two United States Senator candidates. You could look it up. And a guy, a very well-known person, I don't want to name him, came in huffing and puffing and said to me, I don't know anything about this. Give me a question. So in other words, not everybody is always prepared.
Some journalists are unprepared?
I don't think
that was the case with CNBC. No. I think they thought a lot about what they were going to ask, and they were probably looking for gotcha questions and questions that are completely legitimate.
And they
like
all
said.
Have assistants now.
It was something wrong, though, because Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper, they asked questions that were as hard. In fact, some of them were harder because they were actually framed well. And
they were follow-up questions.
So why? I think the debate was bad, but not for the reason the Republican candidates.
Can somebody remind me why CNBC got this?
Well, that's what I was. I mean, that's what I was going to bring up. I mean, I think this is what is being negotiated. This isn't like where the debate commission, when you have after we have a candidate for both Republican and Democrat or an independent, that the debate commission takes over and says we're going to have three debates and that's all worked out between the campaigns. None of these are officially sanctioned debates. They're all worked out with individual networks. So many people write to us here at WAMC and say, why didn't you air the debate last night? Well, because we don't have the rights to air the debate. This is with CNN. This is with MSNBC. This is with CNBC. So they're negotiating with these networks already on their own, really. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. What I don't know is how many we have left. Does anybody know the answer to that? Because I know there's one coming up, and then after that, I don't know how many more we have left.
You know, there's another facet to all of this. These guys, these people, because they're just least one woman in, right?
Right.
Are all ticked off about the questions. But they are also trying to beat each other's brains in. So in other words, you want the questions to be better for you, but at the same time, you want to use this time to kill your opponents.
And to stand out. So people even remember something that you said when there's 11 people up there. The format is just disastrous.
Well, I'm enjoying the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it is good television and good ratings and good commercial revenue, which is one of the things that Trump says, that they're just doing it to glean.
He's such an opponent of making money in any way. I know, yeah.
But who would have sway, Joe, but the front runners in the campaign in this scenario that you describe where, I mean, if Chris Christie wanted to negotiate some terms of the debate, do you think he'd have much chance? But Trump does. He draws the audience.
We got a couple of letters. One says, I wonder if the panel is aware of the move to keep Trump from hosting Saturday Night Live.
Of course.
Well, you'd have to be.
We talked about it.
You have to not be able to hear anything.
Right.
This week. And if so, can they discuss?
Well, the soundbite on that was that it's an entertainment show, and he's been on it before as a host. And I think to pull him off right now, in deference to certain political positions of interest groups like Hispanics who are offended by his what they regard as racist remarks.
Were racist remarks.
Yes, certainly. Reasonably, anybody would conclude that. But the when you start to, Miley Cyrus was on Saturday Night Live. I don't really like her, but I can choose not to watch it, if I don't want.
Watch and make fun of her. That's what you do.
Sometimes people are on I don't like, and they actually are quite human, and I change my opinion about them. So be open-minded.
So the next Democratic debate is November 14th. It will be in Des Moines, Iowa. The next Republican debate that is scheduled, it will be in Nevada, and it will be on CNN. And then a Democratic debate on ABC on the 19th of December. And then we skip to January, where the next Republican debate will be on Fox News.
I want to point out that we were watching something on the TV screen up here, Joe, before.
Yes.
And they were showing how everybody was faring 1 year before the final nomination, right?
Right.
Rudy Giuliani was beating the stuffing, out of his opponents. And so a lot can change in a year.
Now, the one thing about that is that I find interesting, and I don't know, so I went.
And Hillary was beating Barack Obama substantially.
By 2-1 almost. Yeah. So my question is, and that certainly semi-answers the question, although not really, which is in most of those cases, there were far fewer candidates. And I'm just wondering with more splintering here with so many candidates that have either 10-15% and then go down to like five candidates that have 6%,
right.
What does that mean?
Right.
Well, if more drop out, that means that those with 3-6%, those voters will go. They'll coalesce behind somebody, and they could propel somebody forward, like a Marco Rubio or
a Ted Cruz.
Yeah, that seems to be the trend, that after you say who's your number one and who's your number two, they end up being 3 and 4.
Well, at 11% Marco Rubio in this last poll,
mm-hmm. Right.
That's not really that good, but we keep hearing from the pundits it's very good. So, in other words, that he's coming up fast.
It's good if you discount Trump and Carson, which it seems like everybody is doing, but is that a wise thing to do?
I don't think so.
I'm not seeing a lot of people drop out. That's the thing that seems so different this year. I mean, I miss the days of Michelle Bachmann. She was kind of the crazy fodder in the last election, but she didn't last very long.
Right.
And these guys can hold on. I mean, Carson, Trump. They have money. Even Jeb Bush has.
Well, even George Pataki. I mean, he's still in it.
Why is George Pataki still in this race?
Because
he wants to be.
That could just.
He wants to be.
It's like a vanity race.
Well,
although he is the one, I thought I was amused in watching him on C-SPAN over the weekend when he said, "I believe I'm the only candidate who's actually talking about science and believes that we have to take care of our planet." And I thought,
on the Republican side, that's actually true.
Yes.
Reed Zakaria had
that. He's trying to get a voice in there that becomes part of the discussion, well, power to him.
That train has left the station.
Fareed Zakaria, I was saying, brought on a geneticist, an evolutionary geneticist, who just said he's British, has no stake in the race at all, and said it's just shocking that the Republican candidates are voicing this. Either they really think that it's true that evolution doesn't exist, which is incredibly ignorant, or two, they know it's true, but they're lying about it, and that's shocking in a different way. So it was a pretty interesting discussion.
We're going to take a well, actually, you have a time for a couple letters. Let's do a letter or two, and then we'll take a break.
Okay. Rob and Louise say, the Republican candidates are offended by a few gotcha questions in the debate, while Hillary withstood 11 hours of gotcha questions asked by partisan Republican panel. Hillary was a winner, not a whiner.
Yay.
That's what – well, and
go
also
– Hill.
No, but it also shows you – that in an adverse situation, if you do well, you get a lot of credit. And she did.
Yeah.
And well, she also got a lot of credit for her debate performance as
well. That's sort of what I was talking
about. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Okay. Tom says, the Republican debate is just hurting 11 cats, an impossible task. And Henry says, Chris.
Fair point.
Chris Christie lashing out at fantasy football questions scored points for him. But I thought it was a diversionary tactic. Atlantic City casinos want sports betting in New Jersey. And that's from Henry. And John says, are we surprised by the Republican candidate's response? The rules never apply to them. And when they don't get their way, it's an unfair liberal conspiracy behind it. Would our forefathers behave in this childish way? I agree with Rosemary. Telling the press what to ask of candidates is straight out of dictatorship elections.
We have many other topics to discuss, and we will do so in when we come back. A lot of I couldn't make up my mind last night, so I just threw like 10 topics to you, so we'll get to as many
as... Yeah, when I was up at 1:30 reading, I was saying, thank you, Joe.
We'll get to as many as we can so you didn't read for nothing.
So am I going to die or not?
We'll be...
Are you a white male?
We'll get to that story and more.
I like that story.
Right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's go into a lightning round where we try to take on as many issues as we can in just a few moments. We begin with, I just want to stay with politics for a second. Alan mentioned this, but just to air it out there, and that is the latest poll. Ben Carson leading Donald Trump in the new NBC poll. This just released today. For the second time in a week, Ben Carson took a lead in a national poll, drawing 29% in the survey released on, this is NBC Wall Street News, Wall Street Journal, released on Monday evening, eclipsing Donald Trump, who had 23%. It is the highest any Republican candidate has reached in that survey and bolsters the New York Times poll last week that showed Mr. Carson on the rise.
Now, let me just get this straight. We're talking about among Republicans, or are we talking nationally, the 29%? Do we know that?
I believe it is amongst Republicans, but let me double check.
And I still believe this is all good news for Hillary. Because, you know, Hillary is doing fine in all of these matchups. So, but
yeah, it's Republican voters.
Yes. Republican voters, right.
Well, we were talking earlier about where other candidates in previous elections were a year out, as
yes,
they are now, and how that can flip many times over. So a lot can happen. I think that I don't know exactly how. I can't see the future, but I'll be surprised in 6 months if Carson is still on top.
Well, I have to say that watching these polls now for what have we been doing this for, at least 3 months, I think we have a problem that those polls point out. That's a lot of people to be voting against establishment for people who just seem...
That's what it is, Rosemary.
What's going on? Yeah. And somebody, I mean, forget about the horse race, who's going to win. What is this saying about
it's still saying 50% want an outsider.
Half,
right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They're sick of institutional mainstream politicians and they want somebody new. This was the
disturbing.
Year Sarah Palin should have ran.
Yeah.
Or run.
Speaking of grammar, you give people a break when they speak.
It's you guys sure speak. Give me a break, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. I'm going to break you.
The Keystone XL pipeline, the company seeking to build the pipeline, asked the Obama administration on Monday to suspend its years-long review of the project, potentially bringing an abrupt halt to a politically charged debate that had become part of a broader struggle over President Obama's environmental policies. It was not immediately clear whether the administration would grant the request, which was swiftly denounced by environmental activists as a bid to dodge a near certain rejection of the pipeline. Allowing the delay would push off a decision until after the 2016 presidential election.
This is another nice break for Hillary, who no longer will have to answer questions about why she took so long to say she was against it. It's dead. I'm tired of the pipeline. I don't understand why we considered it in the first place. It wouldn't help America's oil supply.
First of all, I really think it's a terrible thing.
To have the pipeline. Yeah.
But I can't really. I mean, I really don't have the sense that, you know, you can relax about the whole thing.
Right. It's not going away.
Yeah. And you know, if there's a problem, it's always postponed until after the next president. And
yeah. Well, they're gambling here to try to see if they can get a more favorable.
But what's the rationale for it? To take Canadian or whatever oil and bring it down to send it.
And this is dirty oil. Yeah, it costs 17% more energy just to pull it from the ground. It's laden with carbon, much, much dirtier than oil that's drilled the conventional way. And there's not a shortage of oil that justifies that expense.
You don't even need it now.
Right. What do we
so
get
it's just
out
like
of it?
It's just like no drilling in the Arctic. Is it gone away forever? No, but it's gone away. And in politics, a delay is a victory.
It would go to refineries on the Gulf Coast. Theoretically, once it's refined, it would make fuel available, you know, gasoline.
But
available
to who?
To wherever they can sell it.
Well, what we're hearing is to anywhere but here.
Right.
And if that's the case, then what's the rationale for the whole thing?
What good is it?
Yeah, it's very difficult
to make the case for it, but perhaps the dynamic will change. If there's a worldwide surge in the price of oil, that might make it worth it. And that's the way the oil business is. It goes up and down like a roller coaster. And
well, it's been going down pretty consistently, which means we're being set up. The invisible hand is setting us up.
They could go to the West Coast and do it through Vancouver, but it's more expensive to do it that way. It's cheaper for them to cut right through the U.S. of A. and do it.
Can you imagine the thing is going through your backyard, beautiful, pristine Berkshires, and something happens? And it will. Something will happen eventually.
Well, it's going to go through Kansas and places that aren't like the Berkshires. That is
well, but there are
the
pipelines.
However, remember here,
there are pipelines going through Berkshire.
Even Nebraska, which is out in one of those flat areas of the country,
one of those square states,
they're objecting to it and where it's supposed to go, and they want to protect the environment. So,
anyway, it's got a lot of barriers right now. The Obama administration appears to be against it. The new Trudeau administration in Canada seems to be against it, and the company that's pushing it doesn't want to spend the money on it right now. So that's
profitable.
Pretty encouraging.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Dateline Chicago, federal education authorities staking out their firmest position yet on an increasingly contentious issue, found Monday that an Illinois school district violated anti-discrimination laws when it did not allow a transgender student who identifies as a girl and participates on a girls' sports team to change and shower in the girls' locker room without restrictions. Education officials said the decision was the first of its kind on the rights of transgender students, which are emerging as a new cultural battleground in public schools across the country, according to this article in the New York Times.
I can't figure out what the Obama people are figuring on this, because after all, it's their Justice Department that is, saying, go ahead and do this. I know that virtually everybody I talk to thinks that if girls don't want to see someone with a penis in their locker room, that there are compromises that are possible. You can have separate dressing rooms. You can have all of that. And I know this is not politically correct, you know, on my part, but I don't see why the Obama people are pushing this.
Yeah, I've said before, I'm a little bit annoyed. I'm sympathetic to trans rights, but annoyed at how much attention and movement it's gotten in such a quick time. I want feminists to learn from this. Why aren't women's rights protected as much as trans rights? And this is a case where the school in Illinois came up with a perfectly excellent solution, and the courts are intervening. Why? When I was
being,
a girl, the solution being that the trans students go into the girls' locker room. but changing is done behind a screen.
Right.
And the truth is that girls at that age don't want to see each other. I mean, I still remember swimming lessons at Lincoln Park where we would hold up towels for one another because, God forbid, you know, the girl next to you should see your own body, much less a body that's very different. If I were a parent, I would be concerned about this. I am not sympathetic to the courts in this case.
Well, this was an issue in the Capital Region in the Shenandoah School District in southern Saratoga County. Last December, the Board of Education in that district agreed to let students apply for bathrooms of their choice. They could either go in a boys' bathroom or a girls' bathroom, or they could go to a single use bathroom, which many did. And some parents objected, but the Board of Education seemed to broker a deal that satisfied most people, and it's not much of an issue now. Students felt they weren't, I mean, when you talk to students, they weren't bothered by it.
What's wrong with the single-use bathroom idea?
Yeah.
I don't quite understand.
Well, locker rooms, you know, it gets a little more complicated.
It would be expensive to build it.
I mean,
we certainly have it,
because in many cases we already have it for
staff.
Families. Handicapped and disabled. Disabled. So, so that's, I mean, I think they're
the bathrooms.
But even locker rooms too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but before somebody writes in, what's objectionable, I think, there is the moment you say, I'm just trying to look at the other guy's position. The minute you say that, you say this person has to go into a separate place, that creates the impression that there's something wrong with that.
Right, that they don't fit in anywhere.
But this school was not forcing the transgender, it was male to female, was not forcing her to go into a boys' room. And it was part of the woman's locker room, but it's just private. I don't know. It seems like the court's paying lots of attention to the rights of transgender. That's all well and fine. But what about the rights of the girls in that room what their parents want? Does that not get consideration either?
That's a really good point. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will we got through a lot. That was really good. So we'll do that.
Lightning round.
We'll do that again. We'll have another lightning round. We'll get to some letters, and we'll be good. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support comes from Binghamton University, home of the Watson School of Engineering, preparing engineering and computer science students to embrace new challenges and to create the future. Binghamton.edu/Watson. Mango Tree Imports, Saratoga Springs, New York, announcing their new location in the Saratoga Marketplace at 554 Broadway. Open 7 days a week, mangotreeimports.com. Brattleboro Retreat, offering partial hospital and intensive outpatient care at the Birches Treatment Center. Full and half-day psychiatric and addiction treatment, plus available on-campus housing. BrattleboroRetreat.org/Birches. And Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, New York, a green design showroom dedicated to healthy interiors with non-toxic flooring, wall finishes, beds, and more. Green-Conscience.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable panel, is what we call it. The roundtable panel this morning for this election day, November 3rd. A reminder, election coverage tonight beginning at 9 o'clock right here on WAMC, 9 to 11, where we'll bring you up to date on races of interest. And we will be talking about that throughout the day, but full coverage tonight beginning at 9 o'clock right here on WAMC. Let's go to a couple of other issues. The death rates are rising for middle-aged white Americans, according to a study. No. Unlike every other age group, unlike every other racial and ethnic group, unlike their counterparts in other rich countries, death rates in this group have been rising, not falling. This is a report from a Princeton economist who just happened to show off and win the Nobel Prize in Economic Science last month, analyzing health and mortality data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and from other sources, they concluded that rising annual death rates among the group are being driven not by the big killers like heart disease and diabetes, but by an epidemic of suicides and afflictions stemming from substance abuse, alcohol, liver disease, and overdoses of heroin
and prescription opioids, and also another Princeton economist, Ann Case, was the co-author of this report.
Married to the author.
Yes.
Spouses.
Yes.
Now, we're talking here about the mortality rates for white men 45 to 54 years old with no more than a high school education. And the increase was seen between 1999 and 2014, attributed to all those things you said, suicide and substance abuse, et cetera.
Yeah. So keep going.
Well, so happily, that excludes the men in the room here.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, that's
yes,
a good point.
Yes, because we all went to college. I guess we're not affected by
it. That's a very good point.
Yes.
Well, I don't have a dog in this fight, of course, but it seems to me the you could make some policy decisions trying to reverse this, as we ought to whenever we see a group that we can target as hit by substance abuse
well,
and
like
suicide.
What?
Education.
Education, that's right.
We need to
education.
Keep people in school. We need to do better in our prisons, where we just condemn a lot of the men who are in this category to a worthless existence.
Offering economic opportunity?
Yep.
What about that?
Which
that's a great idea.
The Obama administration now wants forms not to ask about criminal background. It seems that's a way to help do this. We should be looking at this. And
but meanwhile, the death rate for middle-aged blacks and Hispanics continues to decline.
Drop, right.
Right, which are still lower than they are for white men in this
in
cohort.
The same category,
yeah. But they their death rate is actually rising, and the death rate for blacks and Hispanics is going down in this age group, which shows that education,
hope helps.
Economic opportunity, whatever, can help mitigate this rate. And this particular group, 45 to 50-year-old white, 54-year-old white men with only a high school education, need attention.
Suicide is real. I mean, out of all of these factors, suicide is the one that's also really on the increase.
Right. And substance abuse sort of is
feeds
a path to that.
Yes,
yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Okay, next item that we want to discuss, and then we'll go to a couple of letters. The Supreme Court, you mentioned this, Rosemary, yesterday. I just wanted to circle back on it.
Racial bias.
Yeah, it was. It's an interesting story. The Supreme Court confronted the recurring problem of racial bias in selecting jurors Monday, and the justices sounded ready to warn prosecutors again that they can't exclude all blacks from the trial of a black defendant. Nearly 30 years ago, the justices said prosecutors must give a neutral and non-racial reason for excluding prospective black jurors. Trial judges were told to cast a skeptical eye on those explanations. And this is a case that obviously will go forward and we'll find more, but it is interesting. I just wanted to circle back on it.
Yeah, I this is a horrendous case they're looking at. 20 years ago, a black teenager was sentenced convicted and sentenced in the murder of an elderly white woman. The jury was all white, Rome, Georgia.
Right, yeah.
Georgia has discounted that anything was wrong. And now what's made the difference 20 years later is that the prosecutor's notes have come out. And in those notes, they systematically refer to black potential jurors as Bs. That's interesting, B1, B2. And next to it are explanations plainly worked out to get around the fact that
With other reasons to get them knocked off the jury.
Supposedly, yeah, race-neutral reasons.
And the same very conditions existed for the whites that were allowed to stay on.
Or they were absolutely wrong. Like one juror, potential black juror was knocked off because it was the same age as the defendant. And the defendant was a teenager and this potential juror was in the 30s. So it's completely made up, which indicates that any kind of monitoring of the reasons for the exemption were not serious.
Now, defense attorneys worry about this ruling because they like the idea of having the option to throw people off and kind of condition the way that the jury is. And there's an art to that. I mean, they bring in experts on these major murder trials and these big high-priced trials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
but judges have tremendous amounts of power. I don't know if you guys have been reading the Shelley Silver trial stories.
And jury selection is expected
underway.
To get underway.
Underway. And that judge has made some decisions I don't know if I would have made if I were she. Mm-hmm. Because she is saying, well, you can have a predetermined point of view on politicians being corrupt, but you can still stay stay on the jury. Yeah. That's a little tough.
Yeah.
Federal judges tend to be more limited in how they, you know, let the prosecution and the defense have say in who gets picked. They seem to run the courts more than on the state level.
Mm-hmm. When you do a lot of topics, you get a lot of mail, and you get a lot of things on a wide range of subjects. So let's get to as many as we can, and then we'll try to get another
David says,
subject or two before we end.
David Kay says, I think the reason white middle-aged men deaths has a lot to do with the isolationism in the white community. Blacks and Hispanics have close family ties. Also, I think even if you went to college, there's a lot of mental illness and substance abuse there. Well, I could argue that one for the rest of the day, but... Let's just leave it as a comment. Okay, and let's see. Michael says, Rosemary, your statement, what about the girls in that room? Desperately misses the point.
That was going to get it.
That transgender student is one of the girls in the room.
That transgender student has a penis, so she is not the same as the other girls in the room. She has a right to privacy, and so do the other girls in the room.
Okay, and then we will go to headcount. No, that's no good. It's one of those ads. Rachel says, as a trans woman who grew up in the 50s and came out, transitioned in the 70s, I remember growing up with intense shame and secrecy and loneliness and look with wonder and joy at the support these young people are getting. Too soon, maybe it's just in time for all those teens who might otherwise be in danger of suicide. And by the way, in most of these situations, it's not the kids who protest, it's their parents.
Okay. That was the case in Shenandoah. The kids really weren't upset
Fazed
about
by it.
Yeah.
And Irene wants to move Veterans Day, move Election Day to Veterans Day and declare it a national holiday. And Jay says, is Rosemary really suggesting we create separate but equal facilities for transgender people? What the kids need, all kids, is to know that they are worthy of respect for who they are. Finding their place in the world is hard for teenagers. Let's not make it harder for trans kids by separating them from their peers. And that's from Jay. And let's see here. And I think Robert says, I recently read there are now 2,000 conservative radio talk show hosts countrywide. Every one of them tells their audience that evolution and global warming are liberal hoaxes, and the poor dopes believe it. That's why no Republican candidate dares to tell the truth. She or he would be instantly pilloried by those hosts for doing so. The only hope is to bring back the fairness in broadcasting rule to balance the craziness.
Richard Dawkins, a scientist I was talking about, said that 98% of all scientists in the world believe that evolution is a fact. He's against calling it a theorem anymore. In America, 64% of Americans believe in evolution.
Well, that's what President Obama said last night at a fundraiser in New York City for Democrats. He said that it's like 99 doctors out of 100 tell you that you've got diabetes, and one tells you, oh, no, you don't have it, and you think it's a conspiracy to get you, you know, and you believe the one doctor. And that's really what it is.
It's true.
When you think about it that way.
Yeah.
Margaret wants to know, why is the investigation into the New York State prison escapers at Clinton and the Fishkill inmate death taking so long? Does Rosemary know, or has she investigated?
Yeah, I am interested in it. I don't have any answers. I think the New York Times, because of a project, the independent project, has done some really great reporting on prison since we had those escapes.
Michael says, how about trying to include blacks on the jury for sympathy for a black defendant? In other words, Simpson. Kyle says, Rosemary fails to understand that trans women are women and that trans women's rights are women's rights, too. Students have a right to privacy, changing in private if they wish to, but the school has no right to banish individual students to a separate bathroom far down the hall.
I never suggested that, nor is that what the school's doing. And the truth is that gay rights and trans rights have always been a detraction from the main movement of feminism, which is money, money for all of us, which we still don't have. So you say, oh, we gave bathrooms to transgendered women, which is such a small percentage of the whole population that's female. I do resent this.
I am curious that in the mail that we've gotten, that people have grasped onto the first part of your statement,
not the second,
which is about then what about the rights of the other girls?
Of
what
about women? Of all of them.
That's an interesting point.
And the numbers, of course, and that's a minority is a minority. I certainly believe that they need to be protected and taken care of. I just think Illinois was doing that. And instead, there's a movement by the courts to push what? What is their agenda?
acceptance of transgenders? Could that be one of the reasons they're ruling the way they are?
Does that make acceptance? I mean, I want to see the proof.
I mean, what if students said,
aren't
I don't
calling
like,
out the
I don't
difference?
Like Hispanic or black students dressing with me. And the court steps in and says, of course, that's absurd. I think they're saying that it's just as absurd to regard transgender people as not being of the same gender, which is a liberal mm-hmm. position, and it's ahead of where I think society is. But 20 years ago,
that's a profound point on your part.
Yeah, 20 years
ahead
ago,
ahead of where society is. Yeah.
All right, let's. We're going to call it. We're out of time, but a reminder that.
Polls are open till
polls
9
are open,
p.m.
9
in
p.m.
State.
In New York, and check your state, and we will have full coverage tonight, beginning at 9 o'clock, 9 to 11 p.m.
I'd just like to say I love this panel, and I love Rosemary, and I think that
a love fest.
No, I mean it. Every once in a while I get a letter saying, how dare you, how could one person on the panel say something? And ignoring what the other people on the panel have said, look, that's what makes the show interesting and good, and really, it's terrific.
We'll leave there. Well, we're all happy and good.
We love
and
you
good.
Too, Alan.
Bye. Okay.
Bye, my love.
Not. Group, and group I hug at 10.
And I love that song. So leave it alone.
We'll be back after this.